Welcome to another new episode of my podcast titled The Truth for Youth. My name is Bintu St. Jean, and today we have ourselves another interesting topic. Today's topic is going to be on identity and reflection. You know, we're living in a time where identity has become more and more of a problem and an issue. There are many challenges that we face in life, but the most challenging challenge that we must face is ourselves when we look in the mirror. It is oftentimes that the most questions that we have, the most issues that we may feel, it's not coming from others per se, but rather the ones that comes from ourselves. And so, as we live in this world that is navigating through an identity crisis, how is it that we, and especially the youth, can accept and handle this challenge? Listen further and be encouraged. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you recognize you at all? What are thoughts that run through your mind as you look at your reflection? Is it positive? Is it negative? What are the emotions like? Are you smiling as you look into your eyes? Is the smile as wide as an open door? Or is it a crooked smirk, just enough to get your foot in? Are you not smiling at all? Are you angry? Does your fist clench as you lean towards the mirror? Or are you puzzled? Is there a squint in your eyes as you lean and raise your chin? Is there a slight tilt to your neck? Is there a sigh that you let go under your breath as you gaze and clench your hands around the bathroom sink, staring into your reflection? Are you flexing your muscles, fixing your hair, turning your back? Research shows that when we look in the mirror, the first 5 minutes we are looking at our physical appearance. What are we wearing? How we look? How we appear? But after 5 minutes, we begin to look deeper into ourselves, beyond what we see in our reflection. We began to search our own souls. Soul searching, we question ourselves. We began to conduct an internal interrogation. We question our purpose. We question our life. And we question our identity. You're not the only person who does this. Research has shown that on average, women looks in the mirror 8 times a day. Yea, even more. And the stats are not as different from men as well. But many times when we are looking at ourselves, we are focusing on others. We see ourselves through the lens of others. While we are staring at our reflection, we are reflecting on our parents, on our society, and on our self-worth based on those factors. When we are looking in the mirror, we are not searching for ourselves, but we are searching for the approval of others. We look for what is wrong according to the social pressures of what is right. As you look at yourself in the mirror, you meditate on your waist size. You tell yourself you're not thin enough, although it's just you in the mirror. You tell yourself you're not strong enough, although it's just you and the mirror. While we might think this is self-motivating, it's actually self-destructing. Nobody is perfect, but for some strange reason, we all want to be. We all have to be, because we're all pressured to be. And we feel that we are nothing until we are perfect. That whatever progress we make is not necessarily progress unless it's perfect. This is called perfectionism. We become perfectionists by a society that demands nothing short of perfection. Nothing short of 10, nothing short of 100, nothing short of the best. And if, like me, you grew up in a household that was raised with parents who are perfectionists, then maybe you too can relate to the invisible burden of trying to be more than the accomplishments of others. Believe it or not, perfectionism may have an appearance of self-motivation. I mean, if you think about it, you're setting a high standard for yourself. You're setting goals, and you're constantly measuring up to the perfect measurement. But the truth is that perfectionism does more harm to our society than does good, and especially concerning our youth. And many times, perfectionism robs us of our identity as opposed to giving us one. There are different types of perfectionists, and we'll identify some and discuss it. According to Good Therapy website, this is a well-known therapeutic website also recognized by U.S. News that helps people find therapists and counselors, and it is their mission to reduce society stigma. But on their website is an article on perfectionism that I believe would do well for us to consider. And in that article, there are three types of perfectionists that are listed. The first one is personal standards perfectionism. This is the type of perfectionism that finds its source from setting personal goals and standards. Now, this type of perfectionism is not harming and self-destructive, because this does not usually lead us to burnout or excessive stress. This is the healthy type. Telling yourself what you need to do, telling yourself what you need to become, and having an end goal in all that you do. This is the perfectionism that a lot of people think they are practicing, but instead is the one that a lot of people should be practicing. Because this type of perfectionism energizes the individual. It motivates them. It helps them to achieve the personal goals that they set. It propels them to go higher, to run farther, and to do better. But there are two other types of perfectionism which most people in our society practice that I think we should be aware of. The second type is self-critical perfectionism. This type of perfectionism is more towards feelings of intimidation rather than motivation. So we are intimidated of our goals instead of being motivated and energized by them. This brings a feeling of hopelessness and fear that you will never achieve your goals. And this may cause us to never set goals because we feel that by setting goals, we are setting up ourselves for failure. Research suggests that this type of perfectionism leads to negative emotions as stress, anxiety, avoidance, and self-condemnation. And I know this one from experience, because I used to always practice this, especially in high school. I remember one time in high school, the bell rings and I saw my crush walking from her class to her bus route. And the first thing I thought to myself was this is my chance. The girl of my dream, and the opportunity to make her, my girl, a reality. She was a really pretty, smart girl. She does her homework. I remember that as I saw her, I told myself, this is all or nothing. And I could remember vividly as I'm walking towards her. I'm breathing in and out and telling myself, this is your moment. Don't mess it up. Just do it. You know, just like the Nike commercials. Just do it. This voice out of nowhere in my mind goes, what the heck are you doing? And I could remember it getting louder as I approached her. What in the world are you doing? One day of wearing your new Jordans and all of a sudden you're a school jock. All of a sudden you're ready to make a move on your school crush. You're so funny. You're so funny. If you don't get your goofy self back home and don't make a fool out of yourself getting rejected. And there you have it. I listened to that voice and now we're just friends on Facebook. She's still pretty. I definitely have the confidence now, but I'm on a different mission. Moral of the story, believe in yourself. So for me, being self-critical was like keeping me from approaching girls, setting new goals, trying new things, and essentially keeping me from accepting new challenges. But for others, it may manifest itself in different ways and even the same way. It may keep you from starting a new project for fear of bearing the shame of failure. It may keep you from starting a business that you've always wanted to start in. You've always had a dream of starting a clothing line. Or maybe you had a dream of starting a YouTube channel. Or maybe you had a dream of writing a blog post, but you feel, well, no one's going to listen to me. Who wants to hear what I have to say? How in the world am I going to make a difference in society? Man, if I take on this new project or if I do this, I'm only going to make myself look like a fool. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough money to do this. I'm not the next Bill Gates or the next Mark Zuckerberg. All of these self-condemning thoughts we think are motivating. We think are being realistic, but actually, it's unrealistic. It's unrealistic to think that success is a possibility. It's unrealistic to think that your opportunities can actually bear fruit to productivity. Success can be just as much as a reality as failure. For if one can fail, then surely one can succeed. And it may keep you from going back to school because of your recent failures and difficulties, and it's brought insecurities to you. Now, I know school is not for everybody, but that's no excuse for nobody to make the attempt to be educated. Well, even at one point, I told myself school wasn't for me, but the truth was I wasn't motivated enough. I wasn't intentional, and I didn't really put my best effort towards it. I was weak in my willpower and didn't have enough self-confidence to see myself going through college. Because if I can learn, that means I can graduate. Don't let that voice guide your life. Don't be intimidated by your goals. Well, our dreams and vision shouldn't be intimidating. They should be motivating, pushing us to know better, do better, and be better. Because the truth is that greatness is a risk that many ordinary people are not willing to take, because we don't want to suffer the shame of failing. But the real shame is not failing to succeed, but failing to try. Because at least you know you gave it your best. But if you never tried, all you will think about is what would have happened if you did. And trust me, you don't want to live with that feeling in life. And the last type of perfectionism is socially prescribed perfectionism. According to a 2014 New York University study, this type of perfectionism describes the demand for excellence often placed on people with jobs that requires accurate precision, like lawyers, doctors, medical professionals, architects, and engineers. This type of perfectionism leads to thoughts of self-harm, suicide, hopelessness, and stress. This also applies to people who are held to high cultural or social pressure standards and who strive to meet unrealistic goals. A good example are students who are held to high standards in education by their parents. This is very common in the Asian community, where anything less than an acceptance to Harvard, Yale, or Princeton is a disgrace to the family. It's worthy of being spatted upon by your father. It's breaking family tradition and destroying family reputation. And oftentimes, parents think that raising standards is equivalent to raising a child. They fail to acknowledge that unlike standards, children have feelings, emotions, and a life outside of accomplishments. They forget that the future of society does not depend on the academic wellness of our young people, but the social, emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical wellness of our youth. Many are traumatized rather than motivated by these standards because it takes the joy out of learning. It takes the joy out of achieving. It eventually takes the joy out of living. Also, we may feel the pressure set by society. There are many teens and adults who fear their body is not perfect according to society. Their waist is not thin enough. Their gains are not ripped enough, and their height are not tall enough. We are not beautiful because we are not Instagram models. We don't get all the hearts and reactions and comments and likes. We are not handsome because we look nothing like the men on Men's Health. We don't drive a Benz or a BMW. All of these pressures of perfectionism are destroying our society that struggles with being perfect. Because these pressures do not come from a place of identity and purpose, but from a place of insecurity and validation, our society itself cannot look in the mirror. We are living in a time where athletes, models, artists, and actors are our role models. Society's idea of perfection is narrow, self-sabotaging, and a mockery to what it means to being a human. Materials have replaced morals. Beauty trumps principles. Status is honored over substance, and color defines character. Is there any wonder that our world is having an identity crisis, seeing that society has no real identity itself? It's no longer a matter of an issue of biology, but an issue of psychology. We live in a time where people find their identity in their emotions. They identify with how they feel. Because I feel this way, I am this way. And because I am this way, I was born to be this way. But emotions can change. Emotions waver. Therefore, emotions cannot be trusted. Emotions are subjective to what you think, to what you see, and to what you hear, and what you perceive. And because people have identified with their emotions, as a result, humans have found purpose in passion, passion in lust, and lust in nothing. We are born with a desire to live that society cannot fulfill. We don't know who we are, neither who we should be. And therefore, nothing we do is ever enough. Scientists would tell our children, there is no God. We came from monkeys. The earth came from a Big Bang. But yet, they can't convince a boy with conflicting emotions of feeling like a girl that he's a boy. They can't tell a girl who feels like a boy that she's a girl. Scientists are willing to change the genitals of our youth in the name of freedom, but it's mocking their DNA in the name of insanity. Can a man have a menstrual cycle? Can a woman produce sperm? You see, you didn't have these issues in the 60s and 50s. Why? Because in those times, the image of the family structure and household was firmly impressed and reiterated in society. A household between a mother and a father raising children. But as we got into the hippie 70s, the crazy 80s, the naughty 90s, and the new age of the 2000s and now to where we are now, that image has been targeted and broken down. And as a result, our youth don't know what image to trust or to look to. How can you tell young people that by their DNAs they come from monkeys, but you can't, by the same DNA, confirm their gender? You tell them they're a monkey, but you can't tell them if they are a boy or a girl. And since when did scientists become God? Well, since when did society become the perfect standard? Well, who gave them the measuring stick of being perfect? We have followed the instincts and intuitions of so-called enlightened scholars, leading thinkers of our world, and all it has led us to is a society filled with technology, knowledge, and empty of morality and self-identity. A society filled with self-hate and empty of self-worth. Did society create you? Did Darwin tell the sun not to move one inch? Was Einstein there when the boundaries of the oceans were set? Only God can make you perfect. If he made you, then being perfect is being what he made you to be. You were made to be perfect, but not the way. Society sees perfect. Jesus says, forgive your enemies even as your Father forgave you. Be you perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. God is our identity and our reflection. The Bible says that God made us in his image, male and female. We are looking at the wrong mirror. The Bible is the mirror we should be looking at. Because in the mirror of God's words, not only is our reflection, but our purpose, our identity, and our creator. You've tried society's measuring stick. Look where that has gotten us as a human race. Let's try God's measuring stick and see where that will take us. It will take us away from our insecurities. Because he says, we were wonderfully and fearfully made. It will take us away from stress and burnout. Because he says, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. It will take us away from living a superficial life, chasing money, status, materials, and relationships that ends nowhere. For he says, beware of covetousness, for a man's life is not in the abundance of what he possesses. It will take you away from the world, for he says, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? So the next time you look in the mirror, don't reflect on Instagram. Don't reflect on your parents. Don't reflect on your personal insecurities. Reflect on God's words, and you will find strength, meaning, purpose, and identity, being His child. And that's something we all should reflect upon. Because the more we look at God in His image, the more we become our identity and we fulfill our purpose as a human race. God bless, and until next time, blessings, my youths.